Good day, Cyclone Nation. Welcome to this week's Channel Seed Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. A little late in the week for a podcast, which I apologize, but there's been a lot going on, especially for the middle of July, and we're going to talk about that today. I want to thank our good friends at Channel Seeds. Go check them out at Channel.com. The difference is seedsmanship. That's the headline on their website right now. And, you know, it's living in Iowa, I don't care if you're on a farm or if you're in the city, I think you can appreciate what these guys do. We'll bring in Adam Gray, who directs us our sales here at Cyclone Fanatic. I mean, these guys at Channel, they're just cranking right now.
They are busy. I talked to our good friend Scott Greenfield today, and it sounds like he is just on the move.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nonstop.
Nonstop.
I love farmers.
Which is great.
Yeah. Is there a better guy to sit in a bar with and talk? Just talk stories than a farmer.
No, absolutely not. Because you can keep entertained for 3-4 hours. Like, well, it's nothing.
Just the stories these guys have are unbelievable.
Sir. Yep.
Unbelievable. I come from a farm community, and I have a lot of respect for what the people at Channel Seed do. We want to encourage you to check them out at channel.com. They're a big big advertiser of ours, a big partner is what I like to call them. And I know a lot of you listening to this, you're probably going to school at Iowa State. You're probably majoring maybe in ag business, or you are a future farmer of America. We want to encourage you when you get out. That sounds like when you're getting out of jail. But college is certainly not jail. But when you do get out, we want to encourage you to think of our friends at Channel Seed. All right, Adam, a lot to talk about today. We'll lead off with Royce White. I want to preface this. I don't want to spend too much time on this. Because everybody who's listening to this, they've probably been listening to sports talk radio. They've been reading all over the website. We covered the hell out of Royce coming back, maybe even too much, considering the last year.
It was the hot story.
It was the hot story. And when you're in July,
there's not a lot of stories.
Travis Hines from the Tribune and I were chatting about this because we all, like, it was Randy Peterson, Travis, myself, Rob Gray from the Gazette was there. And we're kind of like, you know, we get there like 45 minutes before Royce's summer league tip, and we're like, I mean, we're kind of losers. But it's our job, though, and this is a huge story in Des Moines.
Isn't this a journalist's dream in July? Because you have to almost try to make up stories at this time of year, don't you?
Well, yeah, especially like for, let's say, a sports talk radio guy in the Des Moines market.
Yep.
This is when, and I think this for a guy like me, too, this is when you earn your paychecks. Because it's... Our job isn't easy during the season. I mean, it's a lot of time and hours, but there's constantly content being given to you.
Yes.
This is when, like, I spent an hour and a half in Gary Thompson's office on Monday.
Yep.
Right?
You're going out looking for content.
Trying to make things interesting for your readers. It's tough, but it's fun. I mean, I actually enjoy this time of year even more, just from the standpoint of...
You get to relax a little bit?
No, actually, to be honest with you, I find myself busier. I feel like I'm busier, at least, this time of year. Because it's not as much of a routine.
Yeah.
In football, I know, okay, I got press conference on Monday. I know I got to go to practice on Tuesday and Wednesday for the post-practice. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's very routine. You get into a routine. Radio show on Thursday. You got to have your preview done by about 3 o'clock on Thursday. You get that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
You got the pick-ems that come up on Friday. It's very set into a routine.
Which I fully plan on winning in 2013. Yeah, well, I just want to throw that out
y'all
here.
Y'all lost to me by, like, 10 games last year.
Yeah, you were on fire last
Dude,
year.
Dude, we did that little side bet thing.
I don't even want to say how bad you beat me.
So I was talking to the Dacer about this months ago.
Does he think he can make
a run? Well, Dace, like, because he constantly, I don't know if you remember when he was on KXNO, he's constantly like rubbing his against the spread record into the listener's face.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty good at it.
He's solid.
And I sent him my record last year, which was pretty stupid. And I'll say this, I'm not even being arrogant here. It was a phenomenal record.
Yes, it was.
I could do this for the next 40 years, and I will never come anywhere close to what I hit last year.
If you were betting real money, you could almost retire
against
last
the spread.
Year.
I was over 60%, over 60%.
You were 64% or something like that.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous.
10 games a week.
Yep.
And the thing about it was, I didn't even get my first 10 games because what we do, and I would encourage you if you're a listener of this podcast, do this with a friend. It's a lot of fun. Adam and I, we just go $1 a game, and we don't even pay up because we're not big gamblers.
I'm paying it. You're what? Paying for golf.
Okay, yeah.
I pay up on bets.
This is a fun thing we do. You do $1 a game where it's a draft. So I get if I win the week before, I get first pick the next week. So I take one game, and then he gets – and you can't pick the same game, right? So, like, it's not like I got, like, oh, this is my first 10. I mean, these were sometimes limited weeks. But what you do is, you know, you just add up your records at the end of the year, and that's how, like, we just do, like, a dollar a game or whatever.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It was. It was a lot of fun. I looked forward to it every Friday.
Nonetheless, you will not win this year.
You're calling it?
I'll
I won
win
2 years ago. Won last year.
I'll win again. I got a lot of mojo right now.
Is the Chris Hassel from ESPN, is he going
to
participate?
Yeah, he actually wants to. He told me that before he left. Yeah.
Well, because I'm just wondering. He's been so bad for years in this.
He's terrible. He gets last like every year. Dave Z.
Dave Z, he's awful too. Is Hassel going to use his boys out there at ESPN like the Schwab?
Schwab got fired.
Really?
Yeah. There are massive layoffs at ESPN. Schwabi is ya-ya.
Okay. I did not know that.
He gone.
So he can't use Schwab for the picks. Okay.
Nope.
I feel a little bit better going into this year then.
Okay.
Because I know Hassel's not – he's no challenge.
No. The Bloom is a guy you got to always watch for.
Bloom is solid. He's
but
the
Bloom,
one I look at.
Here's the problem with Bloom, though, because I play a lot of like fantasy sports and stuff with him. Bloom is always trying to appear to be smarter than everybody else. Bloom doesn't necessarily pick what he thinks is going to happen. Bloom is all about the image. So, like, in a fantasy baseball draft, I mean, he's a guy who's taken, like, the rookies who could be really good. Or in fantasy football, I mean, he'll take, like, the top rookie running back this year just in case because he wants to say, well, I drafted him in the fifth round.
Yeah.
That's what Bloom wants
to
do.
Kind of like you do with Jason Hayward back his first rookie year at the Braves.
Yeah, I did. We have a keeper league, which I'm awful in, by the way, and I didn't even elect to keep it. He's a horrible fantasy player.
He is.
Yeah.
He'll be good in a couple of years. He's still people for. He's only 21.
Yeah, I know. I'm not giving up on him, but yeah. I had much better guys to keep a hold of. Nonetheless, we were talking about Royce White.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't know how we got to fantasy baseball by any means, but so Royce came back. There's no need to analyze how he played or anything like that. I'll just pose the question to you, just like I did to everybody on the website yesterday. Will Royce White ever play in the NBA?
No.
Okay, because I disagree. So this is good. This will be a good debate. Why do you think he won't?
I don't think he even cares to play in the NBA. I go back to the conversation you had with him when he said he's going to go to the NBA, and he made the comment that he doesn't, I think it was something along the lines, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, he doesn't love basketball. He sees it as a means to an end and a means to help his music career and to get awareness out for anxiety.
Correct.
Right then and there.
We're paraphrasing.
I mean, the quote's a little off, I'm sure, but right then and there, that's a red flag to me.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if I'm an NBA team, I'm looking at that and if a guy really, really wanted to play, I think he would have found a way to make it work, and I just didn't see that last year, and I don't see it. I watched your interview with him. I don't see it again.
It all depends on how you take the question. Will he ever play in the NBA? I think he will, but I don't think he's like got a 10-year career ahead of him. I feel like this year, or maybe I'll be proven wrong here, I just don't know why the 76ers and Sam Hinkie, who is very familiar with Royce. I mean, he was one of the guys who drafted him. I did, because former assistant GM of the Rockets, now GM of the 76ers. I just don't know why they would take on $1.7 million if they didn't.
They're not paying it. Houston's paying.
Okay, yeah.
Houston's paying it.
But I don't know why they would. Correct. I don't know why they would take on just the sideshow that Royce brings to town if they didn't.
Because
they're rolling the dice. It's a no-lose situation for them. But I don't get, like, if Hinkie was as anti-Royce as the whole Rockets organization appears to be, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I would be, too. I mean, one of the first moves he makes, and I know that there's that foreign guy involved, too. I get all that. There's a lot of dynamics to this. I just feel like, one, he's incredibly talented. Two, he's incredibly unique. And I feel like he could play maybe 20 games and then it all blows up.
Yeah.
But I do think he'll step foot on an NBA court at some point in time. There's a lot of guys who will make it there just strictly off of talent alone, and then they flame out. And Royce's deal, I don't think it's fair to call it a flame out. I think it's admirable what he's trying to do. But I think at the same time, it's a situation where, you know, the flying thing, for instance, it's your job to – that's part of the job of an NBA player. you have to fly around.
Yes,
if my vocal cords got snipped tonight when I'm sleeping,
you can't sing.
I can't do this podcast next week.
Oh, I thought you were going to go like country singer, your dream.
Touche, the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I do think that it's just too early to say he'll never play in the NBA. Now, again, it depends on how you take the question. Yes, I think he will play in the NBA. No, I do not think it's going to be this long, drawn-out career.
And here's why I think the Sixers took him on. The Sixers are going to be awful next year. They're not even playing. They don't even care if they win one game next year. I mean, I take that back. They care if they win.
There'll be a lot of teams just tanking it next year.
So it's the Andrew Wiggins, you know, who's going to win that? They traded away their all-star point guard, who's, what, 23 years old? Drew Holiday.
Which, that makes no sense.
But what they did is they got another draft pick out of it.
Yeah, but...
In a loaded 2014 class.
Drives me nuts, though, when teams do that, because it's like you're trading away a proven guy.
Yep.
Who you know is good.
Yeah.
Who you didn't have any problems with that I'm aware of. Did he call, he wasn't a troublemaker, was
no.
he?
No. You're
trading away a proven guy who you know is good all because of potential.
Yeah. But you know what? It's what Houston did. You're stockpiling assets, and then all of a sudden what they do is they accumulate all these, and then they trade them for a Harden, and you get Harden.
Yeah.
And the next year, you know, you have a good draft, and you bring in Dwight Howard, and all of a sudden, man, they're stacked, and they got a shot to win the West this next year.
I get that, but... Houston just has a few more pieces than a 76ers team did to begin
last
with.
Last year, before the year before Harden, they weren't going to win 20 games. They had nobody.
Yeah.
They had Chandler Parsons.
I still like it's, and I'm not specifically looking at the 76ers organ. I'm just talking sports in general. I get so tired of hearing about potential. What about the guy who you know can win?
Hey, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Royce White. I love what he did for Iowa State and how he turned Iowa State around and took us from not going to the NCAA tournament. And I think his skill set is great for the NBA, and he could be a very good NBA player. I'm just not convinced that the 76ers – I think if he plays, the 76ers look at it as a win. If he doesn't, they don't care.
You don't know what's weird to me about the Royce White deal? And I like Royce. He was a joy to cover, to work with. If Royce ever wants to do a book, I would be first in line to
– It'd be very interesting,
wouldn't it? I would
love
to write that. What's weird to me, though – and I find this very curious, and I've never really talked about it. I've never written about it. So this is kind of like an exclusive. I've never understood why we didn't hear more about the anxiety and stuff before the tail end of his career at Iowa State. And I'm not saying he's making it up. I'm not insinuating that. Yep. It's just like all of a sudden that was, I think Randy Peterson or Bobby Legesse, they both wrote great pieces on Royce. Like all of a sudden, bam, here it is. And now it's all you hear about.
Yep.
Like his whole first year, we didn't really know that he
struggled
with
it. We knew he had it, but we didn't know it was that bad.
We didn't know that he struggled with it as much. And maybe it's just as simple, Adam, as he became more high profile and, you know, and it naturally progressed.
So are you saying that the timing was not a coincidence when all of a sudden at the very end of the year in the biggest spotlight when we're about ready to go down to Lexington is when he decided to drive?
Well,
do you think that was planned?
Because he didn't, to my knowledge, he flew with the team the majority of the year.
I think, yeah.
But it is different than the NBA lifestyle where you play, you fly out that night, you fly out that night. I mean, you can't really compare Iowa State's travel schedule to that of the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
But it's just like, and again, it sounds like, I know what you're thinking if you're listening to this. You're going, well, you're saying he's faking it? No, it's not what I'm saying at all. I mean, I was aware that he had this condition. It's just we never heard much about anything from it.
No, we didn't. And you know who's sitting back laughing right now? Doug Gottlieb. Remember Iowa State fans just killing Doug Gottlieb and for going on Twitter and saying Royce White can't play in the NBA because of his anxiety issues or it's going to be really difficult for him and I wouldn't take a risk on him. And Iowa State fans killed him. He's sitting back right now just saying, told you so.
Yeah, no, I know.
And I know you love Gottlieb.
I love Gottlieb. I think Doug Gottlieb's one of my favorite commentators in all of sports.
And right now he's right on in this situation.
Yeah. And I want to end this because we need to move on. I don't want to go crazy on this Royce White deal. Everybody else already has. We try and do things a little differently at Fnatic, you know.
Not beat it to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I'm trying to do, although we've done that already. I mean, we're guilty of it. But, like, I want to end this. I legitimately really like Royce.
I like Royce, too.
I really hope, selfishly even, that it works out because, you know, I'm not a huge NBA guy. I'm coming around like I think a lot of people are. It's a much more interesting league than it was 10 years ago.
It's a great league. I love the NBA.
But I was, dude, I was signing up for the league pass.
Yeah.
To watch Royce last year. Because he his story, just him, he's such a polarizing guy. Like, I was genuinely going to watch Rocket games. I was going to become a Rocket fan. I was so excited for that. And you just would hate to see a guy that talented never really pan out.
You would. It would be a shame. And Iowa State fans, we're really desperately wanting a guy in the NBA that we can cheer for that's going to play a lot and have some success.
And here's another reason why I think Royce plays is, let's just say he gets cut or whatever. There's no way in my mind, like, he's too into this getting the anxiety awareness out there. And, I mean, his goal is to have a league-wide protocol for this in the National Basketball Association.
Yep.
He's not going to go down without fighting.
No, probably not.
There's going to be, I don't know if it's like legal stuff he can do, but he said the other night he wants to take it to Capitol Hill, and he's going to, there. Because my point is, while it's going to be tough for Royce to get his reach out if he's not an NBA player, there are people with money out there. There are lawyers out there who would sign up for this and say, let's do it. Let's take on the country in this. Let's take on the NBA.
Oh, absolutely.
And eventually somebody will either, A, that there's going to be a protocol, because the anxiety issue is real. That's the thing. That's the one thing that bothers me. I feel like a lot of people just think that this is something made up. It's not.
It's definitely real.
It's a very real
The only issue I have with it, Williams, I know it's real. I love what he's doing. But he's not the only player in the NBA that's come and gone that's had anxiety issues. I personally just think, I think he could do so much more if he played. I think when you play, it just gives you, I mean, if you just sit there and you talk a big game and you actually don't go out there and just try to fight it head on, I think you lose a lot of people's respect. And I would really like to see him just go out there and play and still advocate for it and still try to get everything changed.
Yeah.
But do it while doing his job. And I think a lot of people would get a little bit more respect for him. That's my take.
Yeah. And you and me, we're good friends when we're not working together. We talk about everything from religion to politics to everything. A lot of times we argue about it.
Absolutely.
One of the things I always tell you, and I tell people this all the time, is I don't like arguing about that stuff, and I think this is a good way to end it, where I've never sat in Royce's shoes. I didn't experience what he experienced when he was five. I didn't experience what he experienced when he was at Iowa State. I don't know what it's like to be him, just like when the, you know, and you could take it as simple as I get made fun of a lot by my friends like you and Bloom for being such a NASCAR fan, right? Well, I bet if you were born in my shoes and raised in my family when family vacations were going to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway to watch the Brickyard, you would probably be a NASCAR fan. So my point is, every experience you have in your life builds you to be the person you are today.
That is true.
And something's triggered in Royce's mind where this is his, this is what he wants to do. It's what he's passionate about. And while we can sit here and critique this, because that's our job, it's my job, not really yours, but I bring you on anyways, to have an opinion on this. At the end of the day, I think we all know, if he's playing in the NBA, he's going to have more reach, obviously.
Yep.
But I'm not going to judge him for how he's doing it either. Because
that's fair.
At the end of the day, if you're not passionate about something, you got to do what makes you happy.
You got to love Royce White's passion.
Yes.
You have to.
That's the perfect way to end this conversation. Let's move on. The Channel Seed Podcast, channel.com. Check them out today. I posted a little blurb yesterday on the website because I've been just, and I don't like to just throw stuff out there a lot of times. Generally, when I do, it's pretty accurate, I think. I like to think so.
Yeah.
I've been hearing a lot, and I heard from like four or five people now, and that's why I decided to throw it up there yesterday, that Boo Boo Paolo is not only producing in the Capital City League, which he has done every year, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, he, year after year, Bloom and I talked about it in a podcast a couple months ago. He is, if not the best, one of the top two or three best players in the Capital City League every year. It comes down to effort. The guys who play 120% in that league are going to have a ton of rebounds. They're going to have a ton of points. And another disclosure, full disclosure thing on that league, anything that happens inside the paint, don't count it. That will not translate over to the Big 12. Boo Boo Paolo is not going to be able to dash and slash and get wide open layups in the Big 12 conference. It's not going to happen. But everything I've heard says that he's like a different guy in workouts right now.
That's great to hear.
He's not only pushing for a starting job, right now he's the overwhelming front runner to have a starting job.
That's shocking to me. I don't get how that's shocking. It's shocking, Chris. It's absolutely
shocking.
Because you bring in, if we didn't bring in Kane, then it wouldn't be shocking. But when you bring in Kane, I think the overwhelming majority of us thought that Kane was going to be the starter. And then you don't really look at Bubba as a two guard. But I guess the
Bubba
thought,
will not be a two guard.
No,
he'll
I know. You're
one.
Moving Kane to the two. I guess it's just, I mean, we've seen Bubba for 3 years now, and he's a solid player. He's a great walk on. He works his tail off. Obviously has a chip on his shoulder. But let's be honest. I mean, if you've watched him for the last 3 years, to say he's going to be a starting Big 12 point guard, I don't know how you can't say it's a little shocking.
Okay, so I'll play devil's advocate with
okay.
you. For the last 3 years, one, he's had issues. He's had injuries.
He has. No, that's a fair point. Very
last
fair point.
Year, I mean, what can you take from last year with what he went through, really? And two, and I think this is most important, okay? I think this is the most important point to make when you're talking about Bubba Powell. He's always just constantly been looking over his back, trying not to get pulled, trying to stay in the game. He's never been asked to do anything other than go in there and give Corey Lucius a blow, go in there and give whoever the point guard is a blow, go in there and play some solid defense. So I think when you're being asked to do something like that, It's different than going out there with free reins to play your style of basketball, to play your game, to be able to shoot a wide open shot if you're open. You know what I mean?
I agree with everything you just said.
So I feel like mentally, though, and then you'll have your turn.
Okay.
I feel like mentally, I do not think that Bubba Powell is going to go out and average 20 points a game next year.
Absolutely
I'm not saying
not.
That. But on this team, the thought of him starting the majority of the games does not shock me.
Oh, you're talking.
No,
serious. Come on. If I would have told you
a month ago.
You think
I'd just throw this out there?
No, I believe you have solid sources, and I believe that he probably is. I'm saying the fact that we're hearing this and the fact that he may be up there is shocking. I'm not saying it's shocking in a bad way.
No, I know what you mean.
I still think we're an NCAA tournament team, whether Bubba starts or doesn't start.
No,
I'm saying it's shocking that he is.
I find this encouraging.
Yeah, I'm not discouraged by hearing it.
Yeah, because it's not like I'm hearing, oh, Monty Morris sucks.
Yeah, that'd
be
bad.
It's nothing like that. It's just that his game has risen. Like his level of play has gotten better.
You know what? And it's a great, for Iowa State having a young team, having a guy like Bubba Powell is invaluable because here's a guy, it's his fifth year at Iowa State. He came in as a walk-on, and he worked his tail off, and now he's a starter 5 years in. So, I mean, it tells all those young guys, Morris, Sean Dorsey, Walker, Naz Long, you come here and you work hard,
yeah,
you're going to be given a fair shot and you're going to get a chance to play. And, I mean, what better person to look up to than Bubba Powell?
So now the question is if, let's just say, and it's obviously it's July, people, a lot can change.
Yep.
Nothing's being written in pen here. It's a very fine shade of pencil. If Paolo's in, who's out as far as the starting lineup goes?
It would have to be Hogue. I mean, you just go a smaller lineup.
The thing I've seen about Hogue, too, in the Cap City League, and again, full disclosure, Cap City League, you take it with a grain of salt.
Yep.
He is limited offensively.
And we know Hoiberg loves his
offense. Have you gone yet? Have you gone to the league?
I have not gone. I want to go, but I have not
been. When
are
you getting back from the lake this weekend?
Sunday.
Come Sunday night to the championship.
I'll be there.
That would be a smart thing for you to do.
It's a championship?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
League's over on Sunday.
Okay.
Hogue's very limited offensively. Now, I think I used to see Hogue at the three. I think he can play the three. He's a four.
Yeah.
He's clearly a four, in my opinion. I don't think you can play him at the three in Hoiberg's offense.
Just a down-low garbage guy, rebounds, yeah. Putbacks, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay. Like Melvin Edgem as a freshman.
Can he shoot like Melvin from outside? Yeah, Melvin's a...
He has not shown that ability.
No, okay.
He has not shown that ability. I think Hogue still plays a lot.
Yeah. Well,
in a way, it's almost encouraging in the sense that this is a guy who I think is going to want to play down low, and Iowa State's going to need it.
Because yeah.
I ain't seen anything from Percy Gibson to make me think that he's going to miraculously be a solid contributor in the Big 12 next year. I think Percy will probably have a pretty good non-conference against some of those mid-majors. I don't see it, and I hope I'm wrong.
Does he look like he's in a little bit better shape, Percy?
I don't know.
No?
It's hard telling because, I mean, half those guys are not – Like I say, I mean, Boo Boo Powell.
I'm saying
the only one
body wise, does he look like a little bit more cut? Because you know, last year he looked like he came in, and maybe put on a couple lbs, and
no, I don't think he looks more cut.
Okay,
no, it's a little discouraging. See that.
Okay,
I don't, and I'm not. Listen, I know it. Percy's been a hot topic. I'm not like on the, you know, hate on Percy Gibson crowd. Just telling you what I see. I'm calling a spade here. I don't.
And I think,
dude, I tried. Like I was shooting highlights the other night.
Yeah,
and he was playing against Royce's team. I mean, I only had two highlights from him that night. Usually in the Cap City League, I mean, you can take at least 10 from every Iowa State player. I had two from Percy.
Yeah.
And the only other make I had of him was like a wide open layup.
In his defense, the Capital City League is not a big man's league.
That is correct.
So
you're very true there.
I think where Iowa State fans are a little hard on Percy is because they've seen the potential. I mean, he came in, he had a solid freshman year.
Correct.
He's a lefty. He's got a big body to him. And I think they look at him and see, you know, some pretty good potential there. And it, for whatever reason, last year as a sophomore, it just did not happen.
Well, yeah, but how many of those shots? He shot like 60% from the field as a freshman where
he had Royce White,
Royce White was being double teamed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, being that guy next to Royce White's, and nobody knows who you are as a freshman.
And they didn't know you were.
They go, who the hell is this guy?
This guy's a lefty, and it takes him a while to figure it out. Now he's scouting report on this guy. He can't go right, and it's tougher for him to
score. You remember that Texas game at Texas last year? I mean, I think how bad Gibson was there in the first half.
Yeah, I forgot about that game because that was a game where we left the guy open for a three-pointer. Yeah,
yeah. Iowa State got Texas went on like a 20-0 run or something like that in the first half, and Iowa State still damn near won the thing.
Should have won it.
No, and I'm not picking on him. I think it's critical that another big man steps up. He's got to be the guy, and I think he can be the guy. Dude, to take the next step next year, they got to have a third big man.
And here's the thing.
Because you think Bill Self isn't just going to go right at Edgemon Niang, and neither one of them have ever proven that they can't stay out of foul trouble. Foul one of those guys out, whole different team.
Yeah, absolutely.
You take one of those guys away, I think they're clearly the fourth best team going into the league. Take one of those guys away. I mean, the league is going to, seriously, five on back is going to be awful next year in the Big 12. So I don't even know if they would drop, but it completely changes the dynamic of where you're at come seeding time or anything like that.
It does. And not only that, it hurts us offensively because, like you said, Hogue's limited offensively. Percy Gibson doesn't do what Niang and Edgem do and stretch out a defense.
This is the and this is the big mystery for next year to me. Let's just say that you know, you've got Fred likes to play seven guys.
Yeah.
Eight guys tops. So let's say it's Paolo, Kane, Edgem, Niang, and who am I missing that would be a starter? I'm blanking right now. Nonetheless, Hogue's going to be in the mix. I can pull up that three.
Thomas? Did you say Thomas?
Yeah, Matt Thomas.
He's
pinned in as a starter. Quit arguing with me about that, people. Matt Thomas will start next year. Every game.
I'd love to hear it.
These people...
I know.
Dorsey Walker. No, Matt Thomas is the starter.
But Sharon Dorsey Walker scored 67 points in the Capital City League.
45 shots.
Yeah, and that's not I'm not bagging on Dorsey Walker.
No, I think he's going to be a fine player.
Yep, I do too.
I think he's going to be a fine player, but I think Matt Thomas is the guy there. So let's then say it's like Long, Dorsey Walker. They're going to be in the rotation.
Monte Morris.
I forgot about him.
Yep.
You got to have another big guy.
Here's my question for you.
It has to be Percy.
Okay, here's my question. If Percy is not giving you anything offensively, do you go with, and I haven't seen him, Adozie?
Well.
And the reason I ask it, because
I think Adozie, I mean, here's the thing on him. He's got the size.
And I hear he works his butt off.
Yeah, so if he can.
Rebound and block?
If you tell him, just be a poor man's Calvin Godfrey.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
All we need out of our backup big guys is to play defense and rebound. I don't even care if they score points.
No, we don't give a crap about scoring at this point. Don't care. So maybe.
So Percy Gibson, I mean.
I don't know. I just. What I struggle with is because we've all seen that Gibson, even if he was benefiting from the Royce White double teams, he has skill. He's a skilled player.
He does have skill.
He needs to put it all together for Iowa State.
And he's got a body to be a bull down there, too.
Correct.
He's got big shoulders.
Correct.
He can put on some muscle.
Yes.
So.
All right. We need to move on. We're already at a half hour. We've got a lot of basketball in. Let's talk a little football. Big 12 Media Days. I'll be leaving a week from Sunday to go down to Dallas. Iowa State's taking Jaquez Washington, Jeremiah George, and Jeff Woody. I don't know if the Big 12 media is ready for that. Those are three talkers right there. You got Jaquez, who's kind of a clowner.
Yep.
He's a funny guy. Jeremiah George, the only player I've ever covered to give an opening statement in an interview. And he's known for they're phenomenal opening statements. He
gives
you more in his opening statement than most players do in a 20-minute interview with you asking him questions.
See, I did not know that about Jeremiah George. He's a talker, huh?
Oh, he's phenomenal. Jeremiah George, here's the thing. George and Jeff Woody, I don't know about Jaquez. George and Jeff Woody should both seriously consider being like color commentators.
I've heard Jeff Woody talk, and he's really good at what
he does. Woody's fantastic.
He's really good at it.
He's fantastic. So the Big 12 media is going to get a taste of Iowa State's three, but that's good genius on Iowa State's part. There's probably some temptation there maybe to take a Sam Richardson or to take a – no. You take your best talkers. The only other guy who – I think Chantrell's a phenomenal talker. You can't really take him coming off the ACL.
No, you can't, unfortunately. That's
a shrewd move right there by Iowa State to take those three.
How do they coach those guys up beforehand? I mean, do they tell them what is off limits to talk about?
I don't know the specifics. I do know that, like, I remember when it was at Kansas City, when I was in college, I was working for Scout at the time, and I remember one of the players down there telling me that they'd just gotten coached the whole way on the flight, which is only like an hour flight. But I don't think you need to really coach those three.
They've been in the program long enough.
They
know
smart
by now.
Guys. Yeah. There's really not a – and I think that they're not going to say anything that they shouldn't. They know better.
Let me hear some of the questions you got. You got some big questions for Big 12 coaches?
I haven't started yet.
Who's the coach you're most looking forward to interviewing?
It's difficult with what I do to – it's difficult to come up with – interesting stuff for Iowa State fans on the day that Iowa State's not going.
Okay.
Because it's like, what do you want me to say? Go up to Mike Gundy in my Cyclone Fanatic polo.
Yep.
And say, hey.
I'm a man.
That Jack Trice isn't really a fun place to play, is it? He's going to look at me and maybe give me the rant.
I want to hear you go up to Bob Stoops and say, I want to hear your thoughts on the SEC versus the Big 12 again.
Get them riled
up. Just get them going.
So, I wish Iowa State was the first day. They're on the second day, which complicates things, but we'll work it out.
That'll be fun.
Nonetheless, my question I posed to you today, a football topic. Each and every year, there is an upset. A Paul Rhodes special.
Yep.
Which game is the upset this year? For Iowa State. I have mine. And you don't have to think like huge. You don't have to think, oh, Texas, just because they're the top ranked one. Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Any game that Iowa State's not favored in. It could be at Kansas State. It could be TCU at home. It could be at Norman. There's going to be an upset somewhere.
It could probably be Tulsa. We probably won't be favored at Tulsa either.
They will not be favored at Tulsa. I about guarantee you that.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to say at Texas Tech.
That would definitely work because they won't be favored. It's a road game in the Big 12.
And Rhodes has actually shown he's been a pretty good road coach at Iowa State.
No, I know. That's my point. Like, something's coming. Like, they're going to surprise you somewhere.
First year head coach. I think our defense matches up pretty well with that spread because we're not going to be a big physical defense, but I think we'll have some speed. I'm going to go at Texas Tech.
I've got two in mind.
All right, let's hear
them. Kansas State in Manhattan.
We're going down.
Yeah, we got the bus trip.
Yep.
Need to sign up for that.
We're due to beat them.
That's my point. More along the lines of that's always a close game. Just because the teams, they play similar styles. They match up very well together. There's never blowouts in that series. And you're right. Iowa State's due to beat Kansas State. And Kansas State does lose Colin Klein. They do lose Arthur Brown. Now, I think that they're still going to be good. I don't see Kansas State going 5-7 this year by any means.
No, they still have this
but
coach.
To me, that
Schneider.
One wouldn't surprise me at all.
Okay. I hope so. I hope you're right on that one.
And the second one is West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, I guess West Virginia would be an upset. I just don't think much of West Virginia. But you're right, because we are going to be underdogs.
So I'm doing these, I don't know if it's been posted yet or not, Athlon, you know, the magazine.
Yes, I know. Yeah, that's your favorite one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm doing some work with them.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah, they're these like Big 12 round tables where they ask us to, they give us a team and they want like 200 words of analysis and a pick like on their final record. And the first one we got was West Virginia.
Would you have them?
I got him 4-1-7 in the Big 12.
Bloom is just crying right now. He's yelling at the podcast as he's listening.
I have him losing to Kansas.
Do you? Well, I know you're big on Charlie Weiss.
I have West Virginia 10th in the Big 12, legitimately. And I'm not even trolling here. Like, what? I don't. Dude, they had.
They lost all their offense.
Tavon Austin, Geno Smith, Stedman Bailey. They lose three offensive linemen. They have. Their defense was just pitiful. The defense will get better in a watered-down Big 12 as far as offensively is going to help. But is it going to help enough to make up? They had all that talent on offense, and they still were 6-7 last year.
What were they in the Big 12 last year?
Well, they lost like – they only won like one game at the tail end of their schedule.
So they had to have gone 3-5.
They started off
3-5.
Dude, they were like third in the country at one point last season.
Until they went to Texas Tech and got
like, I just – I don't see how they're any better.
No, I don't. I
have
4-8
overall, and that's being generous because I have them winning at Maryland in their third non-conference game, which that one's a toss-up. But I thought, like, they still have some talent. It's not like the cupboard's completely bare. So I didn't want to just put them at 3-9. Like, they're going to get some wins somewhere.
And Holgerson's a good enough offensive coach. They could get on fire in offense and be a tough
team. They could.
Yeah.
They could, and they have that transfer quarterback from Florida State who's pretty good. I don't even remember his name.
I know you're talking about, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, the thought of them going 3-9 is hard for me to believe, but I don't see them getting to 6.
Well, they barely got to 6 last year, right?
Yeah, with all those guys.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. I know, like, so I say about Iowa State, like people when they just kill Iowa State, it's like, well, Jake not left. Well, they are recruiting. There are guys filling the spots, and the same with West Virginia. I just don't believe that there are guys coming in that are better than Geno Smith and Tavon Austin.
Absolutely not.
There's no way.
There's not many Tavon Austins out there.
And I'm sorry, all you people out there who just go crazy over offense. Dana Holgerson is not a proven head coach.
He's not.
He's just not. I think he's a great offensive mind, but he's not proven to be a guy who I can just sit here and be all in on. I'm just not. I don't know if he'll be there in 3 years.
If I had to bet, I'd say he won't.
If they go on and chances are I'm probably a little bit too liberal with this 1-7 talk, okay? I'm probably the only person in that round table who's going to have them losing to Kansas. But let's just say they go 1-7 or 2-6. Those people are nuts about their football over there.
That they are.
So, like, last year was discouraging. This year, if they did that, it'll be even more discouraging. Time's a ticking.
Yeah, he'd be on the hot seat going into next year for
sure.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, I mean, if y'all remember, before last year, I wasn't high on West Virginia. I killed West Virginia last year. I mean, they were like two plays away from going 6-6 their last season in the Big East. They had a couple of miracles at the end of that thing. And, I mean, that's the big least or whatever you want.
Is that even a league anymore?
No, it's like the American Conference.
Exactly.
So, I think it's a lot like TCU last year. Their starters were Big 12 caliber.
Yep.
But they don't have Big 12 depth. West Virginia still doesn't have that. They recruited all right last year, but those guys are all freshmen. I think TCU, on the other hand, we've talked about this.
You're really high in TCU.
I really like them this year. Really, really, really like them.
You know, I'm going back and looking at the three games we picked as upsets, all three on the road.
Yeah.
Do we not believe in Jack Trice or is the?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't believe Iowa State can beat Texas at home.
I don't either. We actually play better Texas. We play Texas better on the road than we do at home.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm just tired of being burned on that. First Big 12 game, team's already 3-0. Man, this is a critical game. Win this one, you're in the top 25. They never do.
And then we just pee it down our legs.
The Texas Tech game last year.
Ugh.
The Texas game the year before. And the luck's got to change sometime. You want to talk about this program getting to the next step, you got to win a game like that.
Yeah.
And then that's the difference the last 2 years. And then you're 7-5. And who knows? You win that game, and
we have not been able to get the one win to really get us over the corner. I mean, even West Virginia could have even been that game last year, and we couldn't pull it off.
And here's the one thing that does scare me about West Virginia this year for Iowa State is Iowa State generally, we talk about Big 12 depth, right? Iowa State, I mean, they're when I interviewed Yancey McKnight, he actually laid down a stat that was incredible, just how good they've been in the first six games of the year. And then they trickle off because they really haven't had that depth.
Yeah.
Because guys are going to get hurt. I mean, it's going to happen. It Florida State or Oklahoma or even Oklahoma State or Texas. I mean, generally you've got your backups are damn near as good as your starters.
Yep.
They just don't have the experience, which is the difference. And Iowa State, that's not been the case. It is getting better. Clearly getting better. But that's the one thing that worries me about November 29th because it's like, and who knows on that game, like, what are you playing for? If West Virginia is sitting on three wins and Iowa State's on five.
You got to like Iowa State going into that game.
Yeah, but if they're both on five, you know, I probably lean West Virginia. Who knows, though?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So my thing is, I was talking to Bloom about this the other day. Like, this West Virginia pick, though, am I going to get, like, just hate tweets from these rabid West Virginia fans, you think?
Probably, and Bloom will probably throw in a couple
of
hate tweets,
too. There's a lot
of
logic behind it, though. I mean, I'm not, like, just making crap up. I just gave you stats. It's not like...
They went 3-5 last year in the Big 12, didn't they?
Something like that, yeah.
So I don't know. Understand if you lose all that talent, how you can say, okay, 1-7 is really bad, but how can they be upset with you when you pick that?
Well, it's just like if somebody would...
do it to Iowa State.
Yeah, because you all... Well, we've got Aaron Wimberly this year.
Yeah.
You're not talking about that. I mean, they probably got guys like that over there.
I'm sure.
Who they're high on. But again, comes down to me, Iowa State's defense is not going to be better this year than it was last. It's just not going to happen.
Nope.
You can't replace Knott, Klein, McDonough. They're not going to.
But
West Virginia fans saying the same thing. But there's no way the guys they replace them with are better than Geno Smith and Tavon Austin. No way. It's just not going to happen.
I agree. You're really down on them now.
I just don't like the program.
When you were saying this to Bloom, how do you take this news that you picked him 1-7? How do you take it?
No, Bloom actually was very supportive.
Was he? Okay. I know he's a big Holgorsen fan.
I think he clearly didn't agree with the Kansas talk. Because my take on Kansas is... they can't be any worse.
They have to win a game at some point,
don't they? That's the thing, and they were actually close quite a few times.
They almost beat Texas last year.
Yeah, they almost beat Texas Tech. I remember watching that game.
Yep.
So that's not a deal where, I mean, they went high on the JUCO route. They've got more warm bodies in there who are legit Big 12 players. They'll win a couple games, I think, this year.
Yeah.
They have to.
Well, what's their losing streak at right now? It's 20-some, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something incredible.
Yeah.
They have to.
Hopefully not against us. We got them at home this year, don't we?
I don't think it happens at home.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say we geeked for that one because, I mean, that's one of the pretty much like the only
you have to get that game.
Yeah.
You have to get it.
That's a guarantee. All right. One more. This is yes or no. Does Iowa State go 3-0 in the non-con? Tulsa's the one sticking to you, isn't it? Trying to figure out the Tulsa.
No, game. Iowa's sticking to me, too. I know you're really down on Iowa. I know you think I'm crazy for this. And the reason, I'll just tell you why. I think Iowa's offensive line is going to be really good.
Yeah, and they're going to maul Iowa State's D-line.
And I think they're going to run all over them, and they're going to do the
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you completely.
So I'm scared of that game because of that one reason. I don't think Iowa's defense would be great. They have a young quarterback. I don't think they can pass the ball that well. So if Iowa State can stop the run, we'll win that game.
And here's the one thing, though, too. The Wally Burnham factor, he's really good against one-dimensional teams.
Yes, he is, but how many yards did Tulsa run against us last year in the bowl game? I mean,
come on, though. Like, we can't talk bowl games.
Okay, I'm just saying, though, we've gotten shredded a couple times on the run, and Iowa shredded us a couple times with Wally Burnham against the run.
Again, though, I mean, back to the point I made about 5 minutes ago, you're talking about a game being played in December compared to a game being played in September.
And I understand that.
Iowa State will be at full force.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm not going to pick Iowa State. I'm just saying
You know, I would say we'll win that game. I think by...
You said 13.
10 to 13 points, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't share your optimism on that one. I mean, I'll pick Iowa State to win. It'll be another close game like it has been last couple
years.
No,
I think it'll be a close game, but I think it's like a cheap touchdown at the end or something like that.
And then we'll just tell all the Hawk fans, oh, we kicked your, you know what. Yeah.
No, I don't think it's going to be like a blowout. I think it's a deal where Iowa hangs all game long, and then Iowa State tacks one on at the end.
You know, I actually, the Tulsa game, the fact that we lost him on bowl game, I think helps going into this year.
I do too.
If you lose two games, if you beat them twice last year and you go there, I think it's a very overconfident team if you're going there 2-0. I actually like us to beat Tulsa. I think we do.
Okay, I've got them at 3-0 in the
number. Okay, so you like them there.
We're
too.
Matching up, yeah. Okay. We're matching up. I'm still stuck on 5-7 to 6-6. I'm like, I think 5.5 is the magic number.
Yeah, I'd probably take five. I probably think we'll go 5-7.
I would say 5-7. Right now.
The big question mark is how's our offense going to do? I mean, you got these two tight ends now.
Worried about the offense than the defense right here.
Because we need the offense.
You have to have offense in the Big 12.
We got to score 10 more points a game.
Doesn't matter how good your scoring defense is or how many turnovers you create. You have to score points.
Yep. What's the magic number on offense that we got to score? What's the magic?
Well,
it's
got
to be over 30.
24 a game last year, like 85th nationally in scoring offense. I mean, you got to go over 30.
You got to in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it helps though this year. I mean, it's a watered down league from an offensive standpoint. They're not going to be like last year was just stupid. The amount of points were being put up.
Well, Baylor was stacked. West Virginia
Baylor,
was stacked.
Baylor's going to be just as good this year.
I'm not, but offensively,
correct.
They had some studs.
I like Baylor as a sleeper, though. By the way,
I know, their defense. You're a big Art Briles fan,
and their defense will be a lot better this year.
Yeah, they're
a sleeper for not to win the league, but I think they could very easily snap in front of like a Kansas State or
go 8-4.
Yeah,
9-3.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah. All right, we need to wrap this up. We're at like 45 minutes or so. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. Friends at Channel Seed, thank you very much. Check them out at channel.com. We'll be back next week with the Channel Seed podcast. So long, everybody.
Go Cyclones.